So this has been a hard week. We've seen cities on fire. We've seen acts of brutality. This has been a hard week. And I'm going to preface this with, I don't care what our politics are. I honestly don't. As long as our politics align with Jesus Christ and the work of the cross. But this week has caused me to pay attention. So, in the spirit of Pentecost, I am going to make a confession to my community of faith. I too have struggled with my own systemic racism, not seeing God's people as God's people inside of me. It isn't enough to claim outrage or progressive ideals. It's not enough to say, I'm as liberal as you can get, and I'm a white liberal progressive who works to dismantle systems of oppression through the gospel of Jesus Christ, if I don't confess what I've done. So when I was a little kid in elementary school, we lived in West Denver, which was Hispanic, Latino families, Vietnamese, Laotian, Croatian, Cambodian, Thai people who didn't look like me. And I can remember at Valverde Elementary, which meant the Green Valley, because not cereal farms. What's the green stuff you put in Bloody Marys? Celery farms. It had been farming for generations in the Platte River Valley. And so most people who had worked those farms or had owned little plots of land stayed. And so there were generations of families who were of Hispanic origin. It's the southwest of the United States anyway. So every Wednesday night, we would have these little cards. They were called citizenship cards, and they would get sent home with us, and we would have to fill them out. And I remember saying this at my grandparents' table. Why would anybody want to speak Spanish? Only dumb Mexicans speak Spanish. Why would anybody speak Spanish? French is the cultured language, right? Only stupid Mexicans speak Spanish. Let me put an asterisk right here. Spanish is an incredibly beautiful language. If I had known then what I know now, but I said it. And I treated kids who spoke Spanish as their primary language, English as a second language. There were many times on the lunch yard that I said dumb, racist things. And the cost of it wasn't that my heart was changed. The cost of it was that I lost friends. People that I knew, that I considered my bosom buddies, that we swung on the swings together. The way I talked about people as objects instead of as individuals, they kicked me to the curb. And these were second graders and third graders, and they had a right to. Because I was living a narrative in which I, as a white person, was better off than they were. I was living a narrative in which I was somehow better than they were. And so I bring that to you on this Sunday of Pentecost, and I confess it in front of my Lord and Savior, and I confess it to my community, that there have been moments where I have grieved the Holy Spirit by thinking that because of the color of my skin, I somehow am better than anybody else. Now, I've lived in the South. I lived in Southwest Colorado. I lived here in Chicagoland for 3 years. You would think that being raised by hippies, I would have gotten it. I would have been on target with that. But that is the sin of systemic racism. Now, our church has done a great deal of work on this. Those of you who are in leadership know that we go through anti-racism training like every 5 or 6 years. We've worked really hard to dismantle systems that keep our companions in Christ who don't look like this. We've worked really hard to make sure that there are equal opportunities of access, but not even equal opportunities of access, that there are direct routes to leadership in the church. But most of all, we work out of the knowledge that God has redeemed the world through Jesus Christ. God has sent God's only Son in order that you and I, not only that you and I have life eternal, but that you and I live kingdom lives. You and I live in that heavenly city in the New Jerusalem where sighing and tears are no more, but even more than that, where we look at the face of our sister, our brother, our friend, and we see Christ not only in them, but radiating from them. The way we get to that place, my friends, is by today. It's about the descent of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, don't freak out. I'm going to send to you the advocate. I'm going to send to you the helper. I'm going to send to you the person and the aspiration and the facet of God. It's going to help you make all of this work happen. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And you can read all you want about the Holy Spirit. This is what I have to say about it. It's God's living, creative force. If you read in the Old Testament, it's often, the Holy Spirit is often gendered female. The wisdom of God, the Shekinah of God. It is God's active force that moves in the world. But more than that, it is our helper. It's the one that turns us around. I'm not putting my back to y'all, but y'all look at this. It's the one that turns us around and sends us towards the kingdom. It's the one that speaks in our ears and says, you can't treat people like that. You got to get your act together, because God wants you not to discount or diminish anybody. On this day, we celebrate the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the church. A lot of places will say that this is the birthday of the church. I've even been in a couple of parishes where they actually sing happy birthday to the church. I'm hoping that we're not going to do that. Y'all can if you want, but you're all on mute, so that's fine. It is the day when God comes to us and says, I have not abandoned you. I have not forsaken you. I have not left you to the wilds of the world. In fact, I have come to you and I have said, now, go. Go into the world. Take the fire that is sitting above your head and go set. Go set hearts alight for me. Go tell the world that this is not the way we have to live. And again, I don't care about your politics. I don't care about anybody's politics. We don't have to live this way, sisters and brothers. We have to dismantle systems. We have to stand up for the gospel. And we have to work hard to make sure that every human being is dignified and treated with respect and dignity. We have to live out our baptismal covenant. And the way we do that is by the gift of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will kick us. Watch this. Will kick us. Oh, you can't see my foot. Holy Spirit will kick us into action. Holy Spirit, God's creative force, the winds that blew over the waters of creation, that's what's going to send us out into the world. I say, don't be afraid to stand up for justice. Don't be afraid to stand up for mercy. Don't be afraid to stand up for those who have no one to stand up for them. Get on working. I read a beautiful pastoral letter last night from Bishop Bradenthal, who is the Bishop of Southern Ohio. And this was the quote that stood out to me. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost was neither a circus event nor a celebration of cacophony. It is the miracle and great gift of hearing from God, each in their own language and situation. It is not about noisiness, but about clarity. It is about what the triune God is saying to each of us, one by one. So I challenge us, right now, to step out with those flames of fire still burning above our heads and step out and reclaim this world for God, but to do it with justice and mercy and compassion and above all, with love. So my friends, I offer you this meditation this morning in the name of the one who created us, the one who redeemed us, and the one who sanctifies us always. Amen. I doubt some time. Okay. So we are going to now. Oh, sorry, my head. I muted all of that. Didn't try to run it.